For over 23 years, I've been involved in pastoral ministry, working at churches, pastoring a church, and in this video, I'm going to share with you some of the things that I've learned over the course of those years about being in ministry. Hopefully some things that might help you if you're thinking or considering getting into ministry yourself. That's what we're talking about today on Whiskey in the Writings. Thank you for joining us. Welcome back, everybody. Today we are drinking Russell Reserve. This is a 10-year aged bourbon. This is one of my favorites. I've shared this whiskey with you in the past. I think I say almost all of them are my favorites, and so I got to stop saying that. There are some that I drink here that, you know, give or take, but this is definitely one that you can just, it's affordable, it tastes great, you can use it to mix, you can drink it straight like I'm doing here, and it's just an all-around great bourbon. And so that's what I'm drinking today. Whatever you've got in front of you, pour your drink and raise a glass. Here you go. Cheers. So we're talking about ministry. And for those of you that may not be in ministry and you're considering whether or not this video is worth watching, I want to encourage you to stick around because you're going to get a little insight into my experience being in ministry, being a pastor for most of my adult life, and some of the things that I wish I knew getting into ministry that the past 23 plus years have taught me about pastoring and working at churches. And so wherever you're at, maybe you're a volunteer, maybe you're a paid staff member, maybe you're the lead pastor, and you're just starting out, or you're thinking about getting involved in jumping into ministry, I want to share some things that have I wish I knew when I was getting started, and might have saved me a lot of frustration and struggle. Not entirely, but might have helped. And so I'm going to share with you three things that I wish I knew when I had gotten into ministry and started my career in pastoring. So that's what we're talking about, three things that I wish I had known. So let's get started with the first thing. The first thing that I wish I had known was the importance of having a community of ministers that are around me that are not a part of my local context. Okay, so I started out working in a denomination, and in that denomination, there is a lot of networking that takes place, whether those are conferences and camps and retreats and resources that are geared towards that denomination. And so if you're in a denomination, you might have experienced that, where you're doing things with other ministers and people within that context of faith, of belief systems. And those were great. I didn't have a problem with any of those. Here's the thing though, all of those things were associated with my local environment, meaning I was around people that were down the street doing ministry, or maybe just a state away doing ministry. And they knew the people that I knew, and I knew the people that they knew. And it's really hard sometimes when you're in ministry to be vulnerable and transparent when you aren't sure really how people are going to think about what you're saying. So for instance, if you're being vulnerable and transparent, and maybe you're working for a pastor, maybe you're an associate, maybe you're in youth ministry or children's or whatever, but you work for a church, and that church has a local pastor that oversees it. And maybe that pastor did something that frustrated you or really hurt you. Or maybe there's something you don't agree with that pastor, and you don't feel safe talking about that with the people around you because word might get back, and you don't maybe feel safe that you can actually share those things with that pastor. It's important to be able to have a community of people around you that are not connected to that context, that will actually lead you in a godly way in responding to some of those conflicts that you're going to experience in ministry. Because the adage I remember being told years and years ago when I first started out, and this is kind of a, if you've been in ministry, you'll get what I'm about to say here. But the statement is, ministry would be great if it weren't for all the people. And that was just a statement to say, working with people is really, really hard. And it's really taxing emotionally and spiritually and mentally. And that can transfer into physically. And so all that to say, there's going to be conflict at times. And sometimes that conflict is with the people you're working with, the pastors that are overseeing you in your context. And so to be able to let things out doesn't necessarily mean that you're trying to do something to harm or cause problems. It just simply means you need to get it out of you. And you need to get it out of you in a way and in a context that those that are hearing it aren't just going to pile on to the complaint, but that are actually, they don't have context to your situation. So they're actually going to look to advise you with godly wisdom and perspective to build you up as the person that God's leading you to be. And that is so important. I didn't have that for three-fourths of my ministry context. I felt like I was on an island. Now, I had friends I could talk to. Sure, I had people around me that cared about me and loved me and wanted the best for me. Absolutely. But there were times I had to filter. There were times I had to hold back because I didn't know what I was going to say, how that would affect them in relation to the ministry context I was in. That's just the reality of it, okay? And so you're going to feel that weight and that burden. It's so important for you to find a community around you that can build you up in a way that's not connected to your local context. So I'll give you a resource that was helpful to me. If you're wondering how to find those communities, one thing that you can do is ask around, right? Ask your pastor or whoever you're working for, who do you go to talk to? And if they don't have anybody, maybe ask another pastor down the street. Go find a church that's bigger than you are and ask one of those ministers. All that to say, ask around, look around. If you are a lead pastor, ask other pastors in your area. If you're a part of a network, put feedback out there in that network and see what comes back. For me, I was lucky enough to have a friend of mine suggest a group to me. And this group is led by a good friend of mine, Marcus Carlson. And he leads a ministry called Prepare for Amazement Ministries. And in it, he has a network of pastors called Pastors for Pastors. And what that is just a monthly meetup where we get together on a Zoom call and we share updates on life and challenges and frustrations and ministry and all the things that encompass all that we are. And then we have conversations about how to grow, how to take next steps. And it has been such a valuable asset to me in my ministry career to be a part of Pastors for Pastors. It's allowed me a space where I can share all the things that I'm feeling inside without worry or concern that I might offend someone or I might say it the wrong way that might cause someone to think something that I don't actually think, but in a place of emotional openness, I'm just able to share, and that these people will listen and actually provide feedback that leads me towards healing and restoration and maybe even reconciliation. And so this group, Pastors for Pastors, has been an amazing blessing to my life, and I highly encourage it. In fact, I encourage it so much, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. So if this is something you're interested in discovering, follow this link, fill out the information, and Marcus will get in touch with you and discuss more a group that you can jump into to help your ministry life continue to flourish. But you absolutely need it. So that's number one, things I wish I had known that I could connect with other pastors that are not a part of my local context that I can share life with in order to grow and help me through the difficulties that ministry throws at you. So that's number one. Number two is this. I would have to say that as a minister, one of the things that you are going to be challenged with is how to protect your personal time. What I mean by it is this: if you're young and you're just getting into ministry, and especially if you're single, so this is like new to ministry, single person like I was, there can be an expectation that you need to be everywhere all the time, all at once, because it's like, well, we're paying you to be here. So when the doors are open, you got to be here. If the phone call comes in, you got to answer it. If the need is there, you got to respond. And there's sometimes this weird expectations because, you know, well, maybe they don't have a family, and so they should be available. But that's just wrong. And if you don't protect your own time, if you don't set good boundaries for yourself, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to burn out. You're just going to get exhausted because you were never meant to run as hard as ministry expectations will have you run. Number two, if you don't set good boundaries, people will walk all over it. If you don't set good boundaries from the beginning, you're going to get phone calls at all hours. You're going to have people expecting that they can be in touch with you at a drop of a dime because you didn't set good expectations. And listen, I wish I had known that when I first started out. Most people that desire to be in ministry have a personality type that can be entrepreneurial, can be like type A, D, you know, whatever, Enneagram 8s, that want to achieve and run at high speeds. And this can be confused to make people believe that your energy is limitless when it's not. The challenge for you is that if you don't set good boundaries with protecting your time, your burnout will come through something that actually has the potential to destroy your ministry in the long run. For me, I was running at such a high pace, and I had such an expectation of myself that I couldn't fail, that I always had to be available, that I had to always be on. That pressure, and it's not that people said that to me in those words, but those were the ways that I had been made to feel. And thus it created an expectation in me to always be on all the time. And that led me to a place where I began to develop habits that were unhealthy for me. I started smoking in ministry. That was the only way I could get a release. I would get so stressed that I would go and buy a pack of cigarettes, have a couple cigarettes, and then throw the pack away. And that would be fine until I would get to the next point where I was so stressed and I wouldn't do it again and again. And the point of that isn't to say that, like, well, I'm not making a judgment on smoking or not smoking. What I am saying is that in the context I was in, I was lying to my wife of what I was doing. I was lying to my friends about the ways that I was coping with the stresses that I was under. And it wasn't until I actually opened up and I became honest with myself and with my wife that we were able to work through those realities. And I'm much healthier now because I know how to handle my stress. But back then I didn't. And it was centered around this reality of not understanding how to protect my time. And I want to encourage you, if you're in ministry right now and you've just been running hard and you're listening to this and you're like, I'm feeling that, Joe. Or in fact, maybe you're already turning to behaviors that are detrimental to you in the long run. I'd encourage you to take a step and be honest. Open up. Reach out to me. whiskeyinthewritings@gmail.com. Communicate with me if you don't have someone. I'll be there for you. If you have someone, open up to them. But what you're going to have to do is learn how to say no. If you're starting out in ministry, this is so important. Set boundaries. You don't have to be on 24/7. Some pastors out there, when they hire people, they use and abuse them to the point where it's just a ministry becomes a burden instead of a joy. And that's because we don't set healthy boundaries. If you have a minister that's overseeing you and they just expect you to be doing all the things all the time, all at once, you need to say no. And if they can't handle that, you need to move on because it's going to hurt you in the long run. But that was something I wish I had known earlier, because I was one of those people. I'm a people pleaser to some degree. I don't like it when people are upset with me. I want to be available. I want to help. I'm a minister, right? I want to help people. You're in this business because you believe God's called and equipped you to actually help people. And so you feel bad saying no. But if you want longevity, you have to say no. If you're in this only for a short stint and this isn't your forever, maybe the pace you're running is okay. But if you want to do this for the rest of your life, you gotta learn to say no now. So that's my second tip for you. After 23 years of ministry, man, I wish I had known that sooner. Learn to say no. Learn how to protect your time. I'm gonna add a caveat to this. Learn how to protect your time. If you have a family and young kids, a wife, a young kids, a husband, a young kids, this is even that much more important, because there's a level of beating that we take as young people, as single people, that is kind of like we own it ourselves. But if you're not careful, you're going to lose your kids, you're going to lose your spouse, because you prioritize the ministry and the calling above them. And there's no greater ministry or calling than to your spouse, to your kids, than to the church. Okay, your spouse, your kids have to be first. You need to be at their games if they're involved in sports. You need to be at their school activities. You need to be present with them doing homework, not always checking your phone every 5 minutes because you're getting texts. You need to learn to turn on that do not disturb. You need to let people know that this is your family time and you're going to protect it. You got to do it. You got to do it. All right. So that's my caveat, my additional sub to the protect your time. The third thing I want to share with you, and finally, the things I wish I had known until, you know, leading up to this point, is this one simple fact. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever except for Jesus and his kingdom. Okay. Here's what I mean by that. When I started out being a youth pastor, I thought that's what I was going to do forever. When I thought I launched a church, did that for a decade or more, I thought that was going to be my forever. When I became an associate minister at a church, I thought that was going to be my forever. And all those things ended. There were seasons to all of that. Let me take it a step further. There were people in my life when I was doing youth ministry that I thought would be in my life the rest of my life. They were there when my kids were born. And I don't talk to them anymore. When we were pastoring a church, there were people that came and were a part of our church that I thought were going to be a part of my life forever. And they're not. And then there were people that when I was being an associate minister that I thought were going to be my life forever. And guess what? I'm learning that they're not. Now, that doesn't mean that that's bad. It doesn't mean that they did something wrong or I did something wrong. It just means life is about seasons. And every season, something ends and something begins. And that's the rhythm. Nothing lasts forever. And this is really important if you're just starting out in ministry, or maybe you're hearing this and you're going, gosh, I'm realizing that now after years of being in ministry. I wish I had known that sooner, because I carried so much sadness in my heart when people would leave ministry that I was a part of. As if I did something wrong. I almost took it personally. As a minister, as a pastor, or whatever you call yourself, people are going to leave you. They're just going to leave you. In my context, it looked like this. Hey, Joe, I'd love to meet up and have coffee. I knew after that happening a number of times, I hated going to coffee. Anybody that would text me, hey, Joe, can we meet up for coffee? I almost just wanted to respond. I never did this. But I wanted to respond, hey, it's okay. We don't have to meet. If you're going to leave the church, go ahead and go. Like, is that right? No, but that's how I felt inside because it hurt. It hurt. I loved these people. I still love them. I invested years of my life helping these people. And then they're gone? It hurt so much. Until I began to realize this one simple, profound truth, and it changed the game for me, okay? This is hard for pastors to wrap their brains around, okay? These people are not yours. They are God's. And so as ministers, we don't live like this with people, fisted. We live like this, open-handed. And people can come in and they can go at their discretion, right? The moment I start doing this, trying to hold people, I run the risk of heartache, brokenness in my own life, and potentially causing it in their life by my responses and my reactions. But if I remember that this is the model that I need to have, and that every person that comes into my life is a gift from God, and that gift will be there as long as it needs to be there, but it probably won't be there forever, and that's okay. That's okay. There are a lot of people that have been a part of my life for seasons that I connect with weekly, monthly, yearly, and decades apart. And I'm grateful for all of those. But that was so hard for me early on in ministry and much of my ministry career, where people would come in and out of my the season I'm in. And I just, it was so hard. So remember to live open-handed and to remember that people are a gift. They're not yours to manage. Okay. And I know that there might be ministers. Well, aren't we shepherds to them? Shouldn't we be like the shepherds leading them? Okay. Number one, Jesus said he is the shepherd. Okay. You have a responsibility as a pastor, as a minister, as a teacher to, in the time that they are in your life, be a faithful and good servant to Jesus, to them, through the lens of Jesus. That's your job. Stop worrying about who's yours and not yours. None of them are yours. None of them are yours. They're just a gift. And those gifts come and go. And that's okay. And that's okay. And so just remember that nothing is forever. Your church context isn't going to be forever. You're going to grow, change, develop. Things are going to happen in your church that you have no control of. And it's going to change things. Nothing lasts forever. Enjoy the season you're in. Enjoy the gifts that the people that God has brought into your life, enjoy those people, enjoy those relationships, but remember to not get hurt and offended when they leave, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So just focus on what you can do to be a good friend, to be a good minister, to be a good pastor in this season, and let God deal with the rest. That's not your burden to carry, all right? So those are three things that I wish I had known when I started out in ministry. And I hope that those three things help you if you're considering getting into ministry, working at a church, or maybe if you've been working at a church, maybe this might be helpful to you. I'm so thankful that you've tuned in and you're watching with us. Please, if you find this helpful, just subscribe, share it to people, let people know what's going on with this channel, Whiskey in the Writings, and like it. And just let people know, get the word out. And if you head over to the show notes, you click it, I'll have all the links in there, even a place where you can get your own Whiskey in the Writings tumbler for your own drink next time you tune in. So having said all that, thanks for joining us. Cheers, and we'll see you next time.